And welcome back to the NLP of Money Recordings. My name is Mr. 2020. This is recording 10. And we're going to talk about quite a few really cool things today, including relative position of money. So, Napoleon Hill talked about having a magnificent obsession in life. And if we don't have a magnificent obsession in life, we tend to fill our minds full of, I want to find things with other M's and O's in them, like mediocrity, ordinariness, problems. We literally MO. You know, the magnificent obsession, as a police officer, one of the phrases that we used was MO, modus operandi. In other words, how do we do that? What's the criminal's MO? What's their way of doing things? So what I want to explore in this recording, again, just like in the other recordings, is how do you do something? Yeah. So the special requester for this one did the usual process, sent me an email, I asked some questions, and I glean lots of tiny little bits of data out of the email that help us to notice how we literally limit ourselves and how we activate ourselves. So couple of neat little phrases here. I'm just going to draw from the email and then toss some bits in the recording here. So, money. See it outside of me, at a distance, out of reach, bigger than me, vast. Really cool bits here. So, what I want to talk about is relative position, because seeing money outside of me, at a distance. So, one of the things we can do, we can notice inside the mind. When I was teaching people how to stop smoking, one of the things that I noticed was most people who are unsuccessful in breaking a bad habit, what they do is they do what unsuccessful people who try to stop smoking do. Notice the complexity even when I just say that. So someone who's unsuccessful at stopping smoking basically has a fuzzy movie way out in the distance. When you ask them, well, why do you want to do that? They look way out in the distance and they have a fuzzy look in their eyes. And they say, well, because smoking is bad for you, or smoking causes cancer, or something like that. They even go sort of flat monotone. On the other hand, whenever they want a cigarette, they tend to have a blink, a sharper motion. They are reaching close to themselves, perhaps touching a pack of cigarettes close to their body, in a shirt pocket, for example. And that makes all the difference. You know, literally the distance where we keep things at. The strategy for procrastination is real simple. Literally, you'll notice when somebody who is psychologically healthy and productive maps out dates in their mind. Literally, they'll start with hand gestures that involve something like today or tomorrow is pretty close to their body. They'll move their hand a little bit further out if they're the day after, or the week after, or the month after, a little bit further out. Literally, we mark things out in segments, sort of like if you think like a yardstick, real close to you is close in time, a little bit further out is tomorrow, the day after tomorrow. Literally, you can watch someone move their hand further and further and further out as they go next week, the week after that, the week after that, the week after that. So seeing money outside of oneself, at a distance, out of reach, let's talk about how you procrastinate. To procrastinate, what you effectively do, what I effectively do to procrastinate, and procrastination can be a useful thing. You can put off worrying and do that some other time. Literally, always position it someplace out in the future. For example, in a week, I'll procrastinate. And just keep in mind, in a week, I'll procrastinate. And in a week, I'll procrastinate. So literally, you know, you don't assign it to a specific slot that you move towards. You basically keep it at a slot. You keep it a set distance. So literally in life, you know, we can keep things, people, potential at a safe distance. Not too far out that we lose sight of it. Not too close that we actually ever get it, however. So seeing money outside of me, at a distance, out of reach, and bigger than me. So we go from not only just exploring distance here, again, noticing how we put distance in our minds. By the way, here's what I want you to do. What I want you to do is to notice the distance where you keep something at. You know, literally, I'll get around to it. Just notice if you say a phrase like, I'll get around to it, or when I do something. Again, use a specific thing, or, you know, when I get around to making this recording. If I ran that strategy with making this recording, I'd never get it done. But I notice when I say, when I get around to making it, what I gesture with, even with my body, is I bring it home. Literally, there's a bringing it home feeling and movement with the body. When I get around to making this recording, Literally, my hand, my gesture, my body sort of becomes almost childlike or fetal, literally bringing it home, letting it nurture me, letting it nurture you. Versus, when I get around to, I can't think of anything I want to get around to but won't do right now. Maybe it'll just be worry. Maybe I'll just do that. So when I get around to worrying, and when I say it that way with the intention of putting it off, I do make a fuzzy movie out in the distance. So one of the reasons why I want to have a focus on a magnificent obsession, which of course is going to include funding, but remember, we don't want to have a magnificent obsession about money, because money is one of those things, according to the blue blocker billionaire, Joe Sugarman, and I agree with him on this, if you focus on money, it shrinks. If you focus on money, its size in your mind, or that the problems around it tend to expand inside your mind. But literally, when you focus on money, it's an elusive bugger. Whereas on the other hand, if you focus on getting something done, if you focus on doing something, if you focus on a magnificent obsession, literally your magnificence begins to show up. So, looping around a little bit here, you know the importance of loops from listening to the earlier recordings. So, money, see it outside of me, at a distance, out of reach. By the way, we can turn all of these things. Whenever there's comments in your mind, literally comments in your mind like this, keep distance. Your auditory is really good at keeping distance. So, see it outside of me, turn it into a question. You know, so literally all of these, see it outside of me, turn it in, see it outside of me, at a distance, out of reach, bigger than me. One of the things that I notice with language, when we use a questioning tonality, literally it creates questions in the mind. So if you want to bring certainty and specificity to your focus, one of the things that we get to do, and again, I know the requester, so we can also play a little bit of with stuff outside of the email that I know, practice dropping tonality down. So dropping tonality down, literally an up tonality, creates an opening in the mind. Tonality down at the end. That creates a closing in the mind, a grounding in the mind. Literally, tonality up takes things up in the mind. Tonality down takes things down into the mind. So when we see money inside of me, see wealth potential inside of me, that brings things home. When we see money at a distance, literally listen close. At a distance, it's here now. The potential is here now. The possibility is here now. And what we get to do, literally, so in trading, one of the things that we can notice is if the first couple trades are questionable, and the last few are certain. Okay, I'm certain to make my pips back. I'm certain to make a couple pips here. We can become certain. Literally, the cycle tends to go, have a question, get an answer. You can't get an answer before a question. So literally, one of the things that I've noticed in life in general, we want to apply this cycle consciously. So literally, if the first couple trades are dodgy, okay, again, I ask it as a question because I want it to become something that you stop doing. So the first couple trades are dodgy. We can make all of the trades certain. In other words, wait for the certain trades. Wait for the trades that have the specifics that matter and the feeling of certainty in the body. So, the money name. So when we talk about Indian naming, an Indian name basically had to do with your essence. So we talked about Indian names. And your name can evolve, which is really, really nice. So the name in this case evolved from security to possibilities. Literally, what does money mean to you? If you had a money name, what would it be? And we started with this example with security, that was the answer, and evolving into possibility or possibilities. Interesting, because security is singular and possibilities is plural. Again, We want to notice how the mind runs, how the mind gets run by these tiny little bits. Again, security has a solidness to it. And what I get is that there's been, in the way this patterning is, a need or a history of literally having some sort of questioning to get to a certain point or a specific point, actually both. And so what I invite you to do is to notice with the amount of experience that you've had, you can become certain much more quickly. And so the question that I want you to ask, okay, we're exploring questions and commands here. So the question is, and listen to the way I say it, how can I become more certain right now? What can I be certain of right now? And notice that it's not being asked with a questioning tonality. Yeah, I'm encouraging you to explore the feeling of certainty. So if you're looking at the markets, okay, what can I be certain of in this market right now? So give a little space there for you to explore that. So we can be certain about possibilities. So let's dive in a tiny little bit elsewhere. Elsewhere in the email, it takes time for me to equate skill level to money value. Pretty cool. So your value is what your value is. The what's really, really nice about that is we all have evidence procedures. And so if it takes time to equate skill level to money value, it takes time to, you know, literally have a few dodgy trades and then have the certain trades at the end. We can pretty much, one of the things that I'd encourage you to do, and again, this is an interesting way to approach it. If there's a pattern of having to go through so much, I was working with a guy one day, and he had to go through so much frustration before he decided to have peace of mind. And it was just a pattern that he had from his childhood. And this is not the case here, but this is a semi-parallel, which leads up to the exercise. So what I had this one client do was to take 5 minutes and run a few stressful situations through his mind. And then, you know, enter into the peaceful bit. Because one of the things that was happening was he was trying to do meditations and his mind would start manufacturing things to be stressed out about. And so what I encouraged him to do is to basically take charge of that. So basically his job was to imagine 3 situations to be stressed out about and then move to the 4th step, which was to, you know, then focus on the peaceful meditation. So instead of having to basically let some other portion of his mind, you know, monkey around inside of there, basically he deliberately would go, okay, stressful situation number 1, stressful situation number 2, stressful situation number 3, yep, they're all bullshit. Time to rediscover the peace and the possibilities that I am, and enter directly into that. So what happens with that right there, you know, literally, so with the Forex trading, what I could encourage you to do is to just, okay, remember a dodgy trade, remember another one, remember another one. Now dismiss them, and then take the time to remember a couple good ones. And once you get that out of your system, then go forth and trade and so on and so forth. Now, that doesn't mean it's a magical key to good trades, yeah, because the market may be dodgy or your environment, whatever, you know about all that stuff. But literally, you know, if it takes time, if part of the evidence procedure is taking time before the certainty can show up, you know, taking time before the comfort and acceptance can show up, being able to accept that you're a good trader and to take good trades. If it takes some time, structure that in. You don't have to take the trades during that first bit of time. You can take imaginary trades in that first bit of time and then just take your time and just sit there and wait for the market to be what it needs to be for you. So we would call this owning your own value. Because literally now you're tasking the mind, okay, I'm going to make 3 ridiculous scenarios up. This was, you know, the other fellow's exercise. So I can imagine two, three dodgy trades, get that out of my system, and realize it, and the key with this is we're not reinforcing making dodgy trades. What we're doing is we're burning that circuit out. And then, work into, okay, this is what a positive trade looks like. Here's a couple positions. First, you want to know what a positive trade looks like. In other words, what's the setup, what's the entry, what's the exit look like? So you want to do this both for a long and a short market. So you imagine what a perfect long entry looks like, what a perfect long setup looks like, what a perfect long exit looks like. And then the same thing with shorts. Perfect short setup, perfect short entry, perfect short exit. And then you can take a few minutes, and again, you can do this rather quickly. The take a few minutes and see your body making the perfect, or no, see your body noticing. You can even see your mind noticing. That's an interesting one, though. You can see you noticing the perfect long setup, the perfect long entry, the perfect short exit, and do the same. Well, you know what I mean. All the same. So that's where we'll start right there. Tiny little other comment in there. Again, this has to do with forex trading, but we can apply this anywhere in life. So part of the email, getting out way too early. Getting out way too early. Happy with a few points, let's say. So what we want to do is we can notice, and by the way, that's cool. Getting out way too early to be happy with a few points, a few pips, that's pretty good. But we can also get out early, happy with a few more pips. So notice how there's just a slight difference in the language there. So we can get out way too early, happy with a few pips. We can get out too early, happy with a few more pips. We can get out just right, happy with more and more pips, or even more pips. So what I want you to do is, again, just notice you don't want to make radical changes inside your mind. What you want to do is simply just notice, okay, getting out, again, these are your words. And for everyone listening, I just invite you to notice your words, because if I'm getting way stressed out, okay, let's just go from way stressed out to just stressed out. And from stressed out to stressed. And literally, we're cutting back little tiny bits there. I had a friend who wanted to quit smoking years ago, so I told him, first of all, you don't want to quit, you want to stop. Because from what I can tell, you're not a quitter. And literally, our minds process things this way. So one of the things that I told him to do is, you don't want to quit, you want to stop. And you don't want to stop, you choose to stop. But to choose to stop smoking, one of the things that you could do, and again, in his language, it involved cutting back. So I told him, what you want to do is just cut an inch off of each cigarette. That's all. Just have a little bit of fun with this. So, literally, little tiny changes mean a lot. Big changes get resistance. So, let's just make some little tiny changes and just let the mind work through those. Getting out way too early. Getting out too early. Getting out early. Getting out at the right time. Getting out closer to the right time, getting out on time. And just notice, just moving through that. The last couple were a little bit out of order, but that's okay. So, the Empire of Money, recording number 10. So, let's drop back and notice this whole thing about a magnificent obsession again. So, one of the things about a magnificent obsession is literally, it brings out your magnificence, and it also brings out the magnificence of other people. Literally, there's a reason why Napoleon Hill chose those words. And I don't know what his logical reason was for choosing those words. But I do know when I talk about those words and I share those words, literally, magnificent is a very powerful phrase. When you think of magnitude, and when you think of size, and when you think of magnitude, a magnetic. When you just notice again words, notice the words that you use, and feel free to upgrade them a tiny little bit. You don't have to update them or upgrade them in huge ways, but just, what would happen if you started choosing, well, literally, what if it was about the magnificence? What if it was about the essence? Literally bringing your magnificence out helps you notice how big you really are. So, going back again toward the beginning here, just weaving, closing things down a little bit. So money, we saw it outside of ourselves. We saw it at a distance. You know, one of the things you can do is notice, if you want to try an exercise on, anytime you're getting close to something but it's, you know, not complete, you know, just pick a point. Just take your right hand and notice, okay, you know, where's money outside of you? How far out? You can notice if you've positioned it way far out. Well, try moving it a little bit further out. Try moving it a little bit further in. Actually use your hand to move it where you position it at. And you'll be surprised what happens. Literally, part of our mind, part of your brain, works with positioning things in space. And you know, if you notice these bits, you know, like literally, you can start moving things around a little bit. You know, resources. You know, you want to put your resources a little bit out to your left front. Your future timeline goes out to the right front. You've probably seen me talk about that. If not, it's okay. Literally, your resources, you want to put them a little bit out to your left front. Yeah, the left tends to be over in the path, or I'm sorry, the past tends to be over in the left. That's why we say like left behind. Yeah, I left behind all that stuff in the past. Literally left towards the behind, that's where the past tends to be. Yeah, you want to take the right step forward. Yeah, if you want to take the right action as you move forward into something. You know, again, really, again, you know, right out in front is where the present moves into the future. And a little bit left out in front, again, that's where your resources are. Feel free to start putting lots of goody stuff in your resources. Literally, some of the most psychologically well-balanced, productive people I know, they, you know, and this is universal, they position resources physically as well as imaginarily, you know, basically in their left front. And you get to do that. By the way, when someone wanted, you know, again, this is a universal thing with the stop smoking bit. Most people, their cigarettes tend to be left front pocket, you know, held in the left hand, that kind of thing, and that's all right. But, you know, left front, you know, if you want something in your resources, put it there. If you don't want it there, toss it over to left behind and get rid of it. So, magnificent obsession. Working with these phraseologies, yeah, we saw money, we saw wealth outside of us. Now we realize that, you know, the source of our wealth really is inside of us. By the way, what do you bring into everything that you do? You know, literally the world outside of you, quote unquote, is the world outside of you. But what do you bring into it? That's the biggest key. You know, we can, again, in a few moments, imagine a couple dodgy trades, get them out of the way. I mean, really get them out of the way. And when I say out of the way, think about this. The way, literally, when we talk about in Asian philosophies, the phrase the way of the sword, you know, the way of Kempo, so on and so forth. The way of literally is like a path that we travel on. When you think of future and you think of resources, literally future's out right to the front, resources are a little bit out left to the front. The path that you're on basically sort of is right out in front of you. And when we want to move things off the path, put them off to the left, put them left behind. Again, I just for some reason keep getting drawn back to that, so I'll keep tossing that in. So money was about security, and it gets to become even more and more about possibilities. It gets to become about more and more possibilities. And literally, you know, realize the possibilities that you are. If you want to bring things home, you know, literally, when it comes to possibilities, the possibilities emerge through you. This recording series started out with the thought of doing 4 custom recordings and then just calling it a day. And then it evolved a little bit to, you know what, everyone who gets the program can get everyone else's recordings. And what else I'll do is I'll build in some other stuff that I know will benefit the other people who have gotten the recordings. So literally, everyone who's paid the $47 just doesn't get one. They're getting right now 10 recordings, which is pretty darn cool. And as we just explore even that kind of tiny little bit, you know, security, you know, is pretty much the known. I know I can make 4 recordings, you know, make, you know, $200 off of that deal, put them up on the website, sell them, all that good stuff. But instead, I've been promoting it and building a pretty huge package here. And literally, the huge package is size emerging through me. You know, there's more and more possibilities evolving out of this. Which are really, really cool. And some of you all be finding out about those. Well, you all be finding out about those, yeah, as a couple more recordings come up. So bring possibilities home. Not only is money about possibilities, but you are, yeah, all about possibilities. And again, we talked a tiny little bit about language, getting out way too early to getting out early. I'm sorry, getting out way too early to getting out too early to getting out early. Again, notice tiny little shifts in the language there. And, you know, when it comes to our minds, and we talked about questions and command language, literally keep updating your questions. Just keep updating your questions, because literally security-oriented questions produce insecurity. Possibility-related questions, on the other hand, seem to generate possibilities. So what I encourage you to do is to explore using questions in a way that generate more possibilities. In other words, one of the things that I noticed that we were playing with, I spoke with Lance about, and he also brought it up in public, and he may have before, I have no idea, but literally, if you're in a long trade, be asking yourself, would I take a short entry here? Does it look like a short entry is setting up? That can tell you it's time to get out of the long trade. Or if not, it can tell you it's time to stay in the trade. You know, literally, there's 1,000,000,000 ways to look at something. When we look at possibilities, I'm currently designing, I'm working on a program for a realtor. Long story short, I'm looking at taking the strategy that I'm going to help them use to develop a much more powerful and effective online presence, and I'll probably turn that into a course. And not only will I turn it into a course, I'll probably turn it into a book, maybe a Kindle book. So out of one project that if it fully materializes, I'll get paid pretty well on, I'm going to generate potentially a product, potentially a book, potentially a training. Yeah, there's a couple different ways I can run with that there. And it all involves asking questions like, what else can I do with this? What more is possible with this? Instead of just going, okay, yeah, do I deserve, what's my skill level? You know, we can ask all sorts of questions that just have a single point answer, or we can ask questions that generate multiple possibilities. So we'll just toss some of that into the mix. So I think that's it for right now. If I could close with one thought, it would be, how do you generate a magnificent obsession? Yeah, how do you do it? How do I generate a magnificent obsession? You know, one of the things that I started pondering just a little bit ago was, you know, how do I generate a magnificent obsession? Well, study the other people who have. Because literally, most people's MO, modus operandi, involves with very underutilizing the mind. And when we underutilize the mind generates problems. Stop. Just stop. When we underutilize the mind, you know, we put it into cycles which delay instead of using it to engage, using it to embrace, using it to accept. And so how do we develop a magnificent obsession? How do I develop a magnificent obsession? How do you develop a magnificent obsession? Just putting the question in the middle of the statement, you notice the inflection. How do I do it? How do you do it? How's it been done before? The inflection there was at the end. Let's find people who have generated magnificent obsessions. You know, currently we're right near Tampa, Florida, or we're in Tampa, Florida. We're relatively near Orlando, which is where Disney is. Now, Walt Disney created the world's most famous theme parks. He had a magnificent obsession. On the other hand, here in the States, there are quite a number of theme parks that almost nobody knows about, and they're almost as big as Disney, and they have lines that I guarantee will be just as long. But on the other hand, almost nobody knows about them, because they didn't have the magnificent obsession that Disney had. When you think of magnificent obsession, think of Napoleon Hill, who had a magnificent obsession of teaching people how to generate wealth. And when you look at what he accomplished, he literally single-handedly was probably one of the biggest keys of getting the United States and the world out of the Great Depression of 1929. When we talk about a magnificent obsession, it's not just about bigger, it's not just about more, it's about magnificence. When we talk about trading, we talk about excellence. Excellence in the trade, excellence in you, developing and taking a trade out of excellence, not just for pips, but taking it for the sake of developing excellence and being excellence. So there's part of the bringing it home. It's not outside of you. It's in you. Wealth is you. So that's it. My name is Mr. 2020. Thank you for listening. If you want more goodies, visit innercircleproducts.com. We've got all sorts of goodies there. And I do want to thank you for joining in the program. See ya.